I grind for the love of the game, checking the wire twice like I'm Santa Claus. We grind for the love of the game. Players off to unexpected starts, material, or mirage.
Ooh, get throwing in the Christmas theme. I like that. Something's good's going to be underneath your fantasy stocking.
This is, I think, the second time we've done material or mirage. And going through the rhymes in my head before we came on, it's always the last thing I do. I was like, okay, last time I said, like, something about the garage. And I was like, espionage, camouflage. I was like, oh. No, Santa Claus, dude. That way I don't have to wear a hat or something.
Like this espionage. It's like a Knicks Raptors like saga. It's a little deep in the weeds.
Knicks Raptors saga. Anyways, Nate, how you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. I'm glad we'd be back-to-back, regular scheduled programming. This feels pretty good.
Yes. It's nice to have a rhythm. Yeah, so it's Friday night for everyone listening. It's the 19th, so happy holidays to all of you. Thanks for checking us out again over here at PTJ. Today, our topic, as I indicated, is we're going to be looking at players who... It's really like a waiver wire pod, but it's also assessing your team and knowing who your worst player is. We're going to give some opinions on those players. They're either on the fringes and we think that they're holds, or we think that there could be some type of regression coming for them, whether it's positive or negative. So it's a broad topic. It's really a stylized waiver wire pod / celebrating some guys who have outperformed expectations. Anything you want to add to the topic?
Well, I clearly misremembered the topic.
Yes, this is live.
Right, because I took material, real or mirage, almost to be, in my sense, like, here's somebody that's been outperforming what we thought their ADP was. Is this somebody that you should be, almost like a, should you be trading for this guy or trading away this guy?
Buy low, sell high. Okay.
Buy low, sell high type of situation.
This is the magic.
A little bit more bigger names.
So if you're new to the show or you're just, you know, circling back, Nate and I come up with a topic. We text throughout the week and it creates some fun drama because there can be some different interpretations of the topic. So I kind of love that. A lot of my guys are, you know, guys you might, so it's marginal guys for the most part. I didn't fully stick to the script, so it sounds like Nate, yours is going to be a little more buy low, sell high, and mine's a little more like waiver wire-ish. I love this. I did want to say you have the Oregon Ducks sweatshirt on.
Let's go, Ducks.
And, you know, Nate, where are you headed tomorrow? Give it a little plug.
I'm headed down to Eugene. The Ducks are playing against JMU. This will be my first time going to see a playoff game. Feels pretty neat. Let's to have a playoff game in the state of Oregon. It's, you know, not the most glamorous opponents, but the opportunity to go see a playoff game that was kind of on the bucket list, and to do it and then still be back in your bed at night. We've had this kind of wild week of weather, atmospheric rivers, and we had 2 inches of rain yesterday. And it looks like tomorrow, game time, they're calling for no rain for like the 4 hours of the game right now. So it's looking, fingers crossed, pretty lucky.
That is miraculous. Quick little football end around here. You know, the Seahawks had a big win yesterday, 38-37 against the Rams. It was one of those experiences where, you know, you watch so many games and sometimes you'll catch yourself, you know, mid-third quarter or whatever, and you're like, God, I spend a lot of time on this. Maybe I should be doing something else. And it was one of those game experiences that reminds you why you do it. It was like something's happening to you.
Were you home or at the bar? Or where were you?
We were here. Felt like we were at a bar. But yeah, we were at our new place here. I left him for dead. I was sending angry texts. I was like, I can't believe we've sold our soul to the devil and signed Sam Darnold, is, you know, known for being small in big moments, especially against the Rams. And it was just remarkable. So yeah, big football weekend, whether it's college or the NFL. A lot of people are in their semifinals. So just good luck if you're grinding gridiron out there to you guys as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a great sports time of year for sure.
It really is.
Well, to hop into here, I've got 6 guys outlined, and I will tease here at the end just for people to stay all the way through. My last guy, I think, might promote the biggest fight between us that we've ever had on air. I am worried about when I bring this one up exactly what your reaction is going to be. So I'm going to save this for my last guy there.
You're so mischievous, which I do appreciate. I'm sure the listeners do too. I mean, if you don't enjoy the mischievous nature of Nature Unclean, you probably don't listen to PTJ.
Well, I appreciate that. But So starting off, this is, I thought this would be kind of a fun back and forth here with this first one here. This is a guy that early in his career I had in my roster very frequently, and then I've kind of cooled on him a little bit. At the same time, it seems like I've noticed him be on a lot of your rosters. And so okay. I thought this would be kind of a fun one to kind of have you play devil at, perhaps if you feel this way, to play devil's advocate against my opinion on this. And the guy I'm about to talk about is Miles Turner.
Ooh, yeah, let's talk about Miles Turner. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, because so he's number 46 player on the season. That's great, top 50. But he's the number in the 2 weeks since Giannis has gone down. He's the 201st ranked player. Just has been pretty poor. So I'm going to lay out the arguments against him. And then I'm curious to hear your rebuttal if you feel inclined to give one for him or defending him a little bit.
I'm listening.
So all season, I've kind of felt like he's hasn't quite had the same pop that he's had in years past as far as his since he's gotten to Milwaukee. He doesn't look like his prime self. So far, he's shooting the least amount of attempts, or let's see here. So this season, shooting less attempts per game, and his field goal percentage at the same time is worse. Mm-hmm. Over half of his shots are three-pointers, so he's almost a glorified, just on offense, stand on the perimeter and kind of hoist shots up.
He's been very passive on offense.
His blocks are KPJ-centric offense, you know, with his 26% usage.
Yep. I have a lot to say about this. I've been thinking a lot about this. I've been talking with a buddy actually about this via text. I got a buddy, shout out Spidey, a loyal listener of the show, and we appreciate you. And he's a great fantasy mind. He's played for a long time, won a lot of titles, and I respect his opinion. And he was like, hey man, I'm thinking about trading Miles Turner for Kyle Filipowski. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I wouldn't do that. I was like, I understand where you're at. Like, I get the frustrations. He's one of these players where if he reverts back to being Miles Turner and you think to yourself and you're like, oh my God, a month ago I traded Miles Turner for Kyle Filipowski, you know, and sometimes you just want to get out from under a situation. I'm going to say a couple things. Number one, why does Doc Rivers think Jericho Sims is good?
He's good at dunking, and he gets great rebounds.
Sure, he looks cool, like running up and down the court a little bit, but he's a knucklehead. I mean, he's a negative basketball IQ. He played 30 minutes, I believe, yesterday. He doesn't fit the team, so now we have this weird problem with Jericho Sims. And then with Giannis, Miles Turner, he didn't really know what to do with his body other than just wait to catch the ball to shoot, chuck up a three, and he seems really disengaged in the offense. What's interesting is he actually started really hot the first couple of weeks. He was killing it, yes, doing all the Miles Turner stuff, and then out of nowhere, he just reverted into this shell of himself. He did put up, I want to say, 21 points yesterday. I didn't have any blocks, but as an actionable piece, you can't sell him, and I wouldn't drop him. So you know, you got to hope with a player like that. That I think a part of it is coaching. Doc Rivers is a horrible coach, and you know, there's been a lot of fluctuation. You know, like you mentioned, KCP coming back to KCP, Kevin Porter Jr. coming back into the lineup, Giannis being out of the lineup. So there's not been any continuity on the team, and I think Miles Turner's floundering a bit right now. But if he went on a top 30 run for a month later in the year, would you be surprised?
If Giannis was back, I can see it. Without Giannis, I would be surprised, to be honest with you. I just don't think they're able to kind of get enough penetration and free him up to get open shots right now. I mean, when I watch the games, I just see pass on the perimeter, KPJ contested shot, which doesn't really benefit a facilitator. You know, a guy that is meant to be an auxiliary piece, like him, right, doesn't really showcase his skill sets. And so,
no, it's true. When you go from playing with Tyrese Halliburton to Kevin Porter Jr., that's a big adjustment.
For sure.
You know, so.
So question, if you are a Miles Turner manager.
Which I am.
And which you are.
Yep.
I'm just curious, like, where you said you wouldn't trade him for Filipowski. Obviously, that's too low. How about for Jabari Smith? Like, are you...
Yes,
you're
I did
taking
that
trade. Okay.
Yeah, because Jabari Smith's minutes are so locked in. I mean, he's playing a crap ton of minutes, and he's just got a higher floor of what he can do. I think he has a lower ceiling. But to solidify the back end of my roster, I think I would do that. That's a really nice barometer. And it surprises me that I would do that, but I would. I think he's kind of like 80% of what you would hope Miles Turner would be.
Yeah. How about Cada for Boston?
Nah, I can't do that.
Okay. Wiggins?
Andrew or Aaron? Andrew, I'm a Miles Turner believer, and everything you're presenting is really facts based and you know, grinding the tape based. I still do think that over the course of the season, I would hope that he could find some type of a groove, you know, and you know, start to maximize some of his talents. You know, Ryan Rollins, I think, was a better. I mean, I think KPJ coming back is the real turn in the punch bowl. Let's be honest.
I agree. Their team looks considerably worse since he's gotten there. There's no. I mean, he looks really talented, KPJ. I mean, when he's on the floor, you could tell he's the most talented player out there. But their team looks way flatter.
Yeah.
And there's just no more passing. It's a lot of just hero ball with him on the floor. So I think as long as he's out there, I'm a little pessimistic. But I think somewhere in between my take and your take is probably the right answer on that. But I think they're both pretty measured.
He's one of these players that you wish you would have traded when you had the chance, but it's too late. And I just think panic trading Miles Turner. I mean, I guess it depends where you're in the, where you are in the standings and if he's helping your team. But, you know, if you look at him over the course of the season, you're still getting over a block and over a three, and you just hope it comes back. So, yeah, I wouldn't cut him. But, yeah, if you could find someone who wants to give you a Jabari Smith-type player, then I'd make that move.
Yeah, good call.
I'm glad you started with him. I did debate putting him on here, and I decided not to. We're going to start with a feel-good story, Licky. We're going to start with Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Oh, yes.
You know, we talked about him on our last pod, and I just wanted to really get into it. It's just been a wild breakout age 27 season. Like, a crazy jump. I don't think anyone would have projected this, not even the Alexander family. You know, you get that sweet, sweet traditional triple positional eligibility. The small forward tag and a little small forward corner, that's an elusive position this year. It's not a talented group. And so
it's terrible. And then you get so much. Plus, you get forward eligibility. He's not a small forward. He's playing point guard for them, too.
Yeah, no
doubt.
It's
a nice little, like, you're sneaking that one in there.
This might be a hard question to answer. Maybe we circle back to it. But has there been a more surprising player that is ranked inside the top 40 Yahoo season rank than Na?
Only Ryan Rollins.
Okay.
But he's number two, for sure.
Well, maybe
I didn't know who Ryan Rollins was coming into the season, and I knew who Nikhil Alexander-Walker was.
Rollins flashed last year, nothing like this, but yeah, I guess, you know, Alexander-Walker was a lottery pick. He had more pedigree, so yeah, that I could see that. Licky, do you care to guess how many more points per game that Na is averaging this year than his career best? So the difference in between his highest to this season's average of 20.4.
He's averaging 20 points. Wow. Yep. I'm going to guess he averaged 9.5 for Minnesota last year.
It's a good guess. The highest he's averaged is 11 points per game in 2021.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so. And not even last year, 2021. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, he has already started more games, 22 this season, than his previous career high of 21. These are just the jumps, and you love to see something like this. Let's talk about what people are kind of wondering, and that's, you know, with Trae Young back in the lineup, right? So first game back with Trae in the lineup, albeit he played 20 minutes off the bench against Charlotte. Played 34 minutes. He had 28 points and 8 boards. And then today, Trae was back out of the lineup. He was back in. He had another great line. So here's my main question for you. Did we miss some type of sell-high window while Trae was out? I kind of have some stuff I've looked into here, but what's your general hit?
Yeah, wow. It's Atlanta's been such an interesting team this season because coming into the season, that first couple weeks, it seemed like they wanted to play 9 guys pretty even minutes.
Right.
And it's transitioned, I think because of injuries. They're playing guys really big minutes. I mean, Okonwu's randomly playing 35 minutes when I never thought that would ever happen.
We dreamed of days like this.
I know. And I had sold. I was off the island, too.
You're just like, I'm done playing this game every season. I'm getting off.
Yeah. I don't think you missed the sell high because I don't think there was a sell high. I think everybody knew Trae Young was coming back. I think you rode it as long as you could till the wheels came off. I think my expectation was with the wheels were going to come off and would come off. But so far, I mean, especially that first game, which I know Trae Young was on a minutes restriction, but it was cool to see just how many minutes, and they've kind of adjusted the lineup a little bit. So I think he has season long value now, where I thought he was going to turn into a streamer. I think he has season long value.
Agreed. So yeah, the drop off is pretty mild. There's a 5-game sample size of Trey in the lineup. In those games, Oz points drop from 21 to 18. The rebounds stay the same, and the dimes go from 3.4 to 3 even, but the stocks go up to 2 per game, and they're down to 1.4 with Trey out. And I think that's, you know, it's a small sample size, but I think the defensive production could pick up when he's able to be off the ball more and carrying less of the offensive burden.
Trey Young?
That's three. Yeah. Still 48% rostered on Yahoo. So proof that I think that metric is completely dead with all the dead, with all the dead leagues.
For
it's
sure.
Kind of a bummer, but my official stamp on this one, Licky, Nah feels like a top 50 player for the rest of the season. Solid material stuff here.
Top 50. Wow.
Yeah.
I love his inclusion in this. I think he exemplifies what this list kind of is. I mean, that's a big question mark, and I appreciate you kind of taking a stance on that.
Needed to be done. And I'm proud to be the guy to do it. I actually have a bunch of his rookie cards. I ordered a bunch of Nah rookie cards during COVID.
All right, so moving on to the next guy here. This is one, well, I think once again, he's a little bit more of a you guy than a me guy, but that doesn't mean that I'm not interested in him. And that's Coby White. So going on to Coby White, he's the 169th per game player this season. And I am saying that number is a giant mirage. And the reason that I am saying that is so on the season so far, he's averaging more points than last year. He's averaging the same amount of rebounds, assists, and defensive stats as last year. Last year, he was the 72nd player per game.
What's up with those percentages?
Well, yeah, what's up with this ranking? Why is it double last season? There's a couple little things. First is field goal percentage. Last year, he shot 90%. This year, he's shooting 80%.
Free throw percentage?
Whatever. Yeah, for free throw percentage.
Yeah.
Second, turnovers, he's averaging 2.8 versus 2.4 last year. Yawn, don't care.
Right. Yeah, don't care.
The third one, and this is the main one here.
He can't make any threes, can he?
He can't make any threes.
Yeah.
He's shooting 29% from three, which equates to one less three per game.
You can see that in the games, yeah.
Now, do we think that Coby White is a 29% three-point shooter?
Hell no.
There's no world where that is. I mean, that is his game. He is a shooter. He is a bucket. So this is, I think, timing to pounce on Coby White. He's, I will say that he is far from a perfect nine category player. He's a very good points league player.
Yes, he is. That's where I got him this year.
Okay. Yeah. Nine cat, he has holes, you know. He racks up almost zero defensive stats. And his assist and rebound totals are average.
Yeah, true.
But if you believed in Coby White, which I think most people did, considering that he was the 60th ranked ADP player, average draft position on the season, then why not believe now?
And that's knowing that he was going to miss a couple weeks to start the season that he had that ADP.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's a really strong point. So he probably would be even higher if that was the case. And so I say, considering, for me, I'm willing to bet on his 31% usage. Let me just say that one more time. His 31% usage, riding the ship, and him not only finishing better than his current rankings, but I think he's going to end up significantly higher than his 72 of last season. So I think he's a pretty big time. That's a mirage stat.
This is a good one, and I'm interested to see if you can pull off a Coby White trade, please, and you're listening to this, put it in the comments of the YouTube video, because people who have Coby White tend to be Coby White guys. And so I'm wondering if, you know, it would take somebody who's just looking at the season ranks, and people do that, to not kind of see what's going on here. But this is a good one. It kind of reminds me of your PJ Washington plug last week, where there's just an obvious, you know, something that's going to flip eventually, whether, you know, percentage-wise, and that ranking will come back up.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's managers that look into the stats, and there's managers that really rely on the rankings, and so it just totally depends. I think it's worth feeling out who rosters them in your league and see what type of person they are. The one other thing I have on Coby White is a fun fact.
Okay.
Coby White's first name is not Coby. It's Alec.
Alec with a C?
Alec with a C.
Okay, come on. That's very distinguished. I wonder why you went away from that.
I don't know. Could have been a writer.
Yeah. Alec is a beautiful name, frankly. Frankly, if you're listening, Coby White, we prefer to call you Alec.
Yeah. Could be a good, like, tech second career as a tech bro. He calls himself Alec. Alec White.
Here's another player where I'm wondering if this is actually his name, actually. So we're going to go to New Orleans, Licky, for another player who entered the season as an afterthought, much like Alexander Walker. And that's Sadiq Bey. Not a player I thought we'd be talking about.
Had him on my short list.
Yeah, this is a hard hat choice by me. You know, it's just like, it's not super exciting, but I think a lot of people will be interested to to get into this one because he's found money so far. You get the small forward, power forward eligibility, 33% rostered. Down 5% in the last week, and I think that's probably a reaction to Zion returning from that right abductor strain, more than the play of Bey, which has been quite strong still. Did want to note that Zion has been back for two games. He's been coming off the bench. This is kind of a theme. Trae Young started coming off the bench when he returned. Wemby also playing those low minutes. A quick little corner on this is that 65-game limit for awards. There's a clause that you can have two games that are between 15 and 20 minutes that can still count as a 65. And so the Spurs are specifically targeting that in order for him to qualify for awards still. So just kind of a trend where these stars are coming back and playing these low minutes. So just keep that in mind when you're gauging these players. It's kind of a little food for thought there. But so yeah. Zion only played 21 minutes against the Rockets, but Sadiq Bey took 18 shots with Zion back, hit 11 of them, 29 points, 9 boards, 2 steals, and 3 triples on Thursday. So yeah, his numbers with Zion have been that of a fringe hold overall. So let's just take a quick peek at those. So with Zion out of the lineup, he's averaging 17 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 dimes. With Zion in the lineup, 12 points, just under 6 rebounds, just under 2 dimes. His threes go down by about a triple a game. And so that's kind of my prognostication on Sadiq Bey. Obviously, Zion Williamson being in the lineup is no sure thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 12.6 rebounds, that's kind of a fringe guy. So I wouldn't make a preemptive drop, but I do think he could become that kind of who's my worst player. There's a must-add guy on the wire at some point. So I'm going to call this a bit of a mirage from Sadiq Bey, but he keeps proving me wrong every time when he's, you know, just been very steady. So have you given much thought to this? Is he one of those players you kicked yourself for missing off the wire? Or you just figure it's Sadiq Bey, it's not a huge deal?
Sadiq Bey's been one of these guys that I've been a fan of his entire career, and I've been waiting for him to pop. I loved when Washington
injured.
I thought that was a great signing. Unfortunately, he got injured. But then I loved that he just was basically a throw-in from that trade that ended up being the C.J. McCollum-Jordan Poole trade, if I believe, was part of that trade that they got to New Orleans. He was just a throw-in on that. I mean, I think he's got great... Sure. What I like about him is he's got great size. He has the potential to be a good defender, and he's a great shooter, or a good enough shooter. So I think that he fits in well with every team. I mean, every team kind of needs that profile player, like you were saying. I think I like the way that you broke that down, where it's when there's opportunity, he's killing it, and when there is a lot of competition, he's more of a streamer side. The interesting thing is going to be with New Orleans is that what do they do as we get closer to the deadline, too? I mean, because there's a real chance that they are sellers, and so if all of a sudden, I mean, you talked about Zion being gone, but what if Herb Jones is gone? What if any one of these other guys are gone?
Trey Murphy, for instance?
Yeah, he's a great sell high there for them, I don't know. But yeah, I think there's... I like the way you say that, where it's... He's one of those guys that you want to hold. If you had to drop on a Sunday to win a matchup, you would, but you don't want to.
And if you saw him on the wire, you'd be like, oh, Sadiq Bey's here.
Yes, you're spending some waiver wire cash on that.
Well, you probably wouldn't.
No, I'm too stingy.
Is it a philosophy that you just want to save 100 for the guy who's chasing the playoffs and drops a top 40 player at the very end of the season? What's that about? Is it in our league in particular, our league of record, there's really been a trend, that's a historical trend, that you guys save your wad so long that I just figure I don't have to nickel and dime myself now. Is that always been your philosophy, or is it a reaction to this particular league we share, or can you give us a little insight?
My issue is that I feel like we only have 3 moves in our league. Ugh, and I feel like so often each matchup comes down to a singular stream. You're watching games and it comes down to a Sunday and you're like, I need 7 rebounds to win this matchup.
Right.
And so I feel like a lot of times a waiver wire guy comes up and I'm like, I really want him. But if I pick him up, then I can't play him for 2 days. and I'll end up missing a game this week. And I've just been in so many dogfights that I can't risk missing individual games. That's what has come down to me for me, which is a bummer because I've lost out on guys that I really would like to gain a singular, you know, like to gain 10 rebounds in one week.
Is there any philosophy to not spending $3 on picking somebody up you want? Do you want to save 100? Is that a goal?
No. That's my natural frugality coming through on that one. And it's poor. Like, every season, you're right. Like, most teams leave the season with $60 in their pocket. That's just a waste of money. So, yeah, it's something I can be better at, for sure.
That's a good point. So just to get into this, so yeah, it's been a topic over the years that I worked hard to rally to get our league to go from 2 to 3 moves. And I've learned over the years and tried to understand that a part of that is just you want the guys in our league, a lot of you, shout out to the homies if you're listening, you like the pressure of how much gets put on those decisions. And do you also like the fact that it makes at the end it more likely that, okay, I have to save a move because I know I'm going to maybe need to target this one category? Like, do you like that strategy in restricting the amount of moves we have?
Yeah, I like the weight on those. That's the really weight. I think that's fun. I think there, which isn't to say that it couldn't also be really fun if you were in unlimited move or a 7 move, you know, that's just 4. A different style, whatever it is. But yeah. I think it makes each pickup feel important, and when you're using it, you're thinking about it all week.
Interesting, yeah. Okay. So with Sadiq Bey, I think we're in agreement. He's not a player that you have to hold at all costs, but it would be nice.
And talk about how they don't approve how this guy was acquired.
But he's like,
but then you say the but. Derek Queen. And so for all the talk about how he's acquired, I think it's obscured the fact that he's straight good. He's good. Yeah, and so I think that he is real. I think this is a real player, and this is a real situation here. So he's 130th ranked player on the season, just inside rosterable, but he's 48th for the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
And so for the last month, he's averaging 15-7. You might have expected that. But what's been kind of fun and a little bit of a surprise is that he's averaging 6 assists per game.
Yeah, the dimes are nice.
And also giving you 1.8 stocks. And so that's a little bit different than the book was on him coming out of college, which was that he wasn't necessarily a serious guy. He was really gifted with the ball in his hands in the post. But who's he going to guard? And also, does that type of offense fit the modern NBA? I mean, there's a lot of question marks around him coming out of Maryland.
He was talked about like he was the next Derek Coleman, but only the bust was possible.
Yes, right. Yeah, there's so much more highlighting of the bust for him, for whatever reason. Yes, there
was. Quite busty.
But what I've seen from him so far is, and I'm curious to hear what you think about this comp, I think he looks a little bit like a young Andrew Bynum.
Okay, yeah.
With some Julius Randle skill set involved, too.
It was interesting. I was picturing when he played the Nuggets, and he had one of his best games of the season against the Nuggets. And Joker said, admittedly, he could see a little bit of himself in Derek Queen's game, just with his herky-jerkiness, the creativity in the post, his ability to pass from the post, but also he just has a real timing to his game that you don't want to compare anyone to Joker other than Alfred Shingun, but baby Joker. But Derek
and Jan Hansen.
Yeah, of course. Oh my God.
Of course.
Summer League can really seduce us. We're desperate at that point. We're like salivating for something to get excited about. And I thought Jan Hansen looked pretty good at Summer League, but it doesn't mean anything. He sucks.
Yeah.
But, do we know?
But speaking of Summer League too, I mean, like, Derek Queen in Summer League looked like, I mean, he almost looked like he didn't belong. I mean, he dominated.
Yeah.
He was a step ahead of everybody else in Summer League. And, you know, but the fun thing has been for him just seeing those defensive stats. You know, I think ultimately the question with him, I mean, in the same way that you talked about with Sadiq Bey, is can he coexist with Zion healthy? And I think I've just been watching, I watched his most recent game with him. So this is now his maturity into it. And so it's a small sample size. I think, yes. I think a little bit was, I thought that they were basically going to be using Derek Queen to sub in with Zion to kind of like keep a similar profile on the floor at all times.
Right.
Kind of like, where almost like, you know, like if you have a running quarterback in the NFL, your backup quarterback should also be a running quarterback so you can keep the same system, is what I thought. But he's looked pretty center-ish to me. You know, he's bigger than I was expecting to kind of see out there, you know, in comparison to other large NBA players. He's still pretty baby-faced, and I think he's, you know, his physique is going to look quite a bit different in 3 years. But I think there's some coexisting on that if these defensive stats can hold up. And so what do you think about Derek Queen?
It's a good shout-out for Dynasty Corners that he's still playing with baby fat. So, you know, I think long-term he's a huge hit for the Pelicans. And they, you know, as you know, and some listeners may, you know, I've spent the part of 3 years in New Orleans and went to a lot of Pelicans games and just feel bad for that. It's a great community. It's got a rap as not being able to support an NBA team, and economically that may be true, but they have some great fans like anywhere else, and you just feel for this team that just seems to be struggling to find their way. This franchise is just kind of a joke, and it's nice that they have this hit on Derek Queen, and, you know, long term I think maybe he's a player to build around. If you look at the numbers with Zion in the lineup, Derek Queen's averaging 10.6 rebounds and 3.5 assists, 3.2. And so it'll be interesting to see. One thing I think you should keep in mind just for season long when assessing his value is I wouldn't assess any Pelican as if Zion's playing out the schedule.
Yeah, true. Good point.
There's just no reason to, you know. History would tell you that he's going to go back out at some point. So just take those numbers with a grain of salt because it's Zion Williamson. And, you know, they could blow the thing up. And we know Derek Queen's not going anywhere.
Yeah, good call.
So that was a good one. It's a good shout out. Derek Queen right now is, he's the clubhouse leader for the cover of this episode. The next one is, we're going to do another, I'm not going to say that to you because I wanted to see if you can get who I'm talking about here. So the next guy is somebody I would have a very hard time dropping despite concerns about his role. His usage rate has been higher than expected. It's third on his team. This team is loaded with must roster guys, loaded with fringe guys. I counted 8 players that you would want to roster and 2 streamable. I think it's the most of any league, of any team in the league. Smashing the eye test. Looks like a future star. Natron Clean, who am I?
Oh my gosh. So I know that you're not talking about the Thunder, so this would typically fit in with this. Are you talking about Tyson for the Cavs?
No. Usage rate third on the team. So he's gonna have the ball in his hands. He's been in the spotlight a bit more lately. I'll just give you when I watch this player, I see shades of rookie year SGA with the Clippers. And the way that he can shoot, but he also plays in the paint. He's a guard. He's a rookie.
Boy, okay.
He was the 2nd overall pick in the draft.
Oh, you're talking about Dylan Harper.
I am talking about Dylan Harper.
Yeah, okay.
And this, more than I've come with something to say, I want to talk. I just want to discuss Dylan Harper.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure this one out. He's had 3 20-point games, if you include the NBA Cup, which doesn't count for fantasy, but if we're just, you know, scouting the player. Despite the minutes are kind of hovering in low to mid-20s. The only thing preventing him from being like a locked-in rest-of-season player is how does his role grow short of injury, right? Like, so I think it's a roster-dependent, league-size-dependent thing. Right. So, like, in a standard-size 9-cat league, I just don't want to drop this guy. But tonight he had a 6-3-4 in 18 minutes, so that can be hard to hold. So let's just talk about that. You know, is he giving you enough that, like, he might be the best luxury stash in the league, but what are you waiting on other than this guy's just really good and he already has this high usage rate and, you know, if the team's fully healthy, they're great. Like, how do we handle Dylan Harper rest of season in this situation?
Yeah, it's a great question because he's looked the part. He's looked a little bit more mature than you were expecting. I feel like watching the games, I mean, like, he's probably averaging, what, 20 minutes a night or something like that. And they've come away impressed by him. I think he plays with a little bit, you know, a calmness to his game that I wasn't expecting. I think you see a lot of rookies flash potential, and then, you know, everything's a little fast. Like, when you watch the Wizards play, it's just like, it's chaos out there. And he plays with a little bit of calmness to his game. You know, I think the thing that I'm watching for him is, especially on that team, is can his 3-point shooting progress? I mean, in the NBA Cup, he was hitting threes. And so it's like, if he's
hit five threes against the Knicks, yeah,
you have to keep him on the floor. You have to. Right. I mean, if he's shooting that well, he's going to supplant Champagne. He's going to supplant Harrison Barnes. And he's just going to force the issue and be there. But if he, but if he's down, you know, more like at a 30% three-point shooting, then he's going to be that kind of off-the-bench spark plug, I think.
You know what's sad, Natron Clean, is perhaps my favorite player in the league finds himself in an incredible situation, De'Aaron Fox. And then they get this Dylan Harper kid. Castle's a complete smash hit, like, better. I was a huge Stephon Castle guy, and I did not see this level of offense coming from him, especially this early in his career. So you get De'Aaron Fox, and he's kind of blocking one of the funnest young backcourts in the league. And it's just a bit of a, it's a spoil of riches for that team. But it's just funny, because, like, this situation would be great if De'Aaron Fox was just...
All right. I'm interrupting here. I said I was going to save this to the end, and I am jumping.
Oh, God. No.
And jumping in here.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's happening. Right. I'm jumping in and taking over your segment to talk about De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
And I realize that you are a big Fox fan, and I realize that I'm setting myself up for a giant hate mail from your girlfriend, Emma, and I'm willingly stepping into the path of that. And I am going to say on record, so De'Aaron Fox is the 41st ranked player in the league.
Take it
and
easy.
I think that ranking is a mirage. And so the reason I'm saying that
I need to be professional here.
I know. And feel free to come back at me here. I'm ready for it. In half the games played with, he's played half the games with Castle, half the games without. So it's really like pretty much dead even splits. I just think, like you're saying, I mean, Castle's so ahead of expectations. I mean, he's accelerated the timeline by 2 years. And
it's unreal.
Every week, he's looking better and better and better. Yeah. I mean, he's now, it's not that Fox has looked bad. It's just that Castle all of a sudden is the second best player on the team.
I think Castle's better.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's
awesome. I'm ready to talk about it. Certainly a better defender.
Yes. So in the games, like I said, it's 50-50 this season, games with Castle, without. Without Castle, De'Aaron Fox is averaging a De'Aaron Fox 27, 4, and 6.
Yes.
That's what you expect. We've seen that throughout his career. With Castle, a still good and respectable 19, 3, and 6. So 8 less points per game.
Yeah.
That's
God, I miss Kang's Fox. I just miss Kang's Fox. I miss watching them get 36 to 42 wins, and that's a fun arena when they're, you know, playing decent basketball. I mean, those are good fans, tortured fans. God, I miss.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I'm saying is he's still a very good player, but what I'm saying also is that his best numbers this season are behind him.
So is his season ranked 42nd, you're saying?
41st on the season.
Okay.
Per game, because he missed that first chunk.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't hate the take. It's difficult. I mean, you know, everybody watched me let him go in the draft, and I knew I was going to, and then I traded for Castle, you know, for 20 cents on the dollar. Shout out J-Rob. You know, I haven't looked back. I have Castle in both leagues. I just picked up Dylan Harper. Like, so I'm having this emotional reckoning and separating myself a bit. It's made it easier that he doesn't have the fun hair anymore. You know, I miss the hair he had. I really do.
That's true.
I make sure he still has that hair when I play him on 2K.
It makes him look smaller on the court, too.
It does.
A lot of times I'm like, Mike, where's Fox? Is he even in? Like,
right. And so I don't want to say that he's... I don't believe that De'Aaron Fox is a good stats, bad team player. I don't think that.
No.
I just miss the days where he's putting up video game numbers for teams chasing the play-in.
Oh, he's elite. He's elite stats, bad team guy. Yeah, good stats, good team guy.
Yes, that's well said.
That's the difference, I think. Like, he's still good. Like, it's just I just don't think he's top 40 anymore.
Let's give it the rest of the season and see how it plays out. How they figure this backcourt out. Let's revisit this topic. You know, I think around 40th is a decent ROS projection for De'Aaron Fox. But I'm not gonna slam you for this. I'd love to, but yeah, I was already thinking about it.
Oh man! All right. Well, shoot, I was planning to get some bets on this, and but all right. Well, it's Oh, maybe we can come up with another fight on something else.
We'll figure out a way to argue.
Yeah, right. All right. So I wanted to pivot to, if I can just keep rolling with this, to somebody that I'm not sure. I know the whole point of this is it's to definitively say real or mirage. I'm a little confused, and so I want your help with this next guy, because I feel like we've seen both things be true this season, and now I'm on the fence a little bit.
Okay, see if we can help you out.
And so this is a guy that he's on a new team this season. I loved his acquisition. He was a little expensive for this new team, and I thought it was a home run pick. I bet heavily on this team's overs, which is now not looking quite as rosy. And this team's in the East. This player moved from the West, and this player came out of TCU. And
this was a trade?
Trade.
He has no
draft picks.
He has no neck?
No neck.
You say he has no neck?
Yeah, he was traded for quite a few first-round draft picks this season from a Western Conference to an Eastern Conference contender.
And he came out of TCU.
This player is one Desmond Bane.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I forgot where he went to school completely.
Yeah, well, TCU isn't always, you're not always watching a ton of that.
Well, he's one of these guys that kind of showed up during the scouting process. We weren't thinking about him, like, in college, like...
Yeah. So this is what he's been an interesting player because I really like Desmond Bane throughout his career. I've been a huge Desmond Bane guy. I often target him in drafts, and so but it's been a little bit rockier of a transition in Orlando than I think most people assumed it was going to be. I mean, it seemed like his skill set was going to fit in really nicely with what that team needed, and so he's the 99th. Per game player on the season, which is not where you were expecting him to be when you drafted him. But he's the 63rd ranked player the last month. So you're like, okay, he's progressing. But then since Paolo came back, he's back up to 109th. So it seems like so far the chemistry with Paolo hasn't quite been there. That's taken more time to figure out than I think everybody was a little bit expecting.
Can you think of a player who's been more of a, oh my God, he's a screaming buy, he was a crazy buy low for a minute before the Franz injury, and he's a sell high, now he's a buy low again. He's been all over the map.
Yes. And I think it's roller coasters all over the place. Like more than anybody else. And so, you know, Paolo missed 10 games this season. So without Paolo in the lineup, he was averaging 7 points more per game.
Yep.
With more steal, with another steal, with another rebound. So I mean, you know, without Paolo, 23-5-5. You know, which is those stats were even better than they were last year. And last year he was the number 30th ranked player. I mean, so he's been elite with Paolo off the court. With Paolo, 16-4-5, which would be his worst season since his rookie year.
He's not getting to the line when Paolo's out of the game either. He's averaging three less free throws. Yeah.
Yes. You nailed it.
Let's go.
Yeah, that was literally the next thing I was going to mention. What's weird is that he's basically a glorified 3-and-D. You know, because Paolo is... It's once again, when Paolo's on the floor, he's the most talented player on the floor. Yeah. And I think that... the offense kind of stops when he's out there, and people watch
it. Yes. Oh, they do. Yeah, the offense becomes stagnant. It's a little Carmelo Anthony-ish.
So much. Yes. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I guess my advice with him, and once again, I'm eventually going to throw it to you to label this real or mirage. But my advice with him is, for myself, is that I am going to watch very, very closely. So Paolo's been back for three games. I'm going to watch very closely these next five games and be wondering, is his field goal percentage and his free throw attempts, his field goal attempts and his three throw attempts, are they both up the next five games?
Yeah.
But if they don't rise after five games, I I'm selling him based off of name recognition.
I think that I like this. I think that's the metric. I think seeing if he could become more aggressive looking for a shot with Paolo, just paying attention to the attempts. How often is he getting to the line? How often is he not just kind of standing around and becoming a catch and shoot player? That's a good way to attack it early before it becomes too late for it to be actionable. No, I think that's good. He's really fascinated me throughout the season as somebody that I want to figure out how to target, and you've just kind of laid it out. Paying attention, can we get the free throw rate up with Paolo in the lineup? Because obviously Franz is still out, and so you would think that he wouldn't be hurt as much stepping into the number two, but you've nailed it. It's that Paolo Banchero, he really is a bit of a vacuum. I mean, his offense does look more stagnant at times. And integrating him back into the lineup, I'm hoping that they can find some more fluidity, you know, when he's had more time back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about really good players. Like, they should be able to figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. And it's only been, what are they? They played 10 games together or something like that so far this season. Right. So you want to give them some time.
Yeah, so I would monitor it overall. I would bet on Bane figuring it out. But yeah, I like the free throw rate. Just keeping an eye on that. Let's play again. Let's play one more round. I want to see if you can figure out who I'm talking about here.
Okay.
So let's look at a player who's been a major disappointment relative to his ADP of 79. He currently sits at about 200 on the season. He is currently 10th on his own team in usage rate. And that,
oh my God.
And that's excluding two randos who have barely played. Any guesses who that could be? No, that's not a bad guess, though. 79 would be a little high for his ADP, but that's a pretty good guess. This player's fifth on his team in minutes, so he is playing. He's not in the doghouse. It's a good guess, too. I'm going to give it to you because I think it'll be hard to figure out. This is Asar Thompson.
This is juicy.
So I'm not really seeing, Licky, how this is going to improve. The Pistons are first in the East, fully healthy for the first time this season. If you keep them rostered for the blocks and steals, you get 2.1 stocks a game. But you better be punting free throw percentage. He's been atrocious this year. Just researching for the podcast, I hadn't known, but he's dipped down to 52.6 on 3.3 attempts. Last year, he was 64, which is not good, but it's, you know, it's not a total anchor. So I think he's a tough hold right now. He's an even tougher cut because, you know, he's Asar Thompson, right? So, like, he's become a very build-specific end-of-your-roster guy, and I'm afraid I'm calling the start for Asar Thompson material. Because I just don't... It's not that I don't think he can develop more as a player, but no one knew the Pistons would be this good this fast, and so they don't have an incentive to pump more usage into him. Shine any hope on this, or do you agree with my rather bleak assessment on the rest of the season outlook for Asar Thompson?
Yeah, wow, this is... I'm really glad that you're bringing him up here, because he's one of those guys that I think you paid a small premium for him in the draft.
You did. I mean, I was in a bidding war with our boy.
Yeah. I mean, he was... Because, I mean, like, A, his, you know, he gets a little bit of the bump because a man is so good. I think you pay 15% more for that.
Yes.
But he's in a great situation, too, in Detroit, where they want to feature him, and they have all the reason to in the world to. But, boy, he's really not giving you much, is he? I mean, and... I think, who was it recently? I think it was, I heard somebody talking about, I think it was Zach Lowe, was talking about, like, in a playoff series, can you play him? Like,
right.
when it comes down to the playoff, which, granted, like, that's not what we're doing. But, I mean, like, it's something to think about, and I'm sure it's something that the Pistons are thinking about right now.
That's the key when thinking about his rest of the season fantasy outlook, is if they're thinking about something like that, then it could creep into, you know, the role he has.
Right. So, I mean, instead of him playing 32 minutes, do all of a sudden do we see Duncan Robinson going up, you know, like 1, 2, 3 minutes here and there? Because which is so interesting, because I remember, like, the book coming out was that he was supposed to be the good shooting twin, you know, and then Thompson was better, but Asar Thompson was the better shooter. And there was, like, there was hipsters on the draft circles. I remember KOC in particular was saying, I think Asar Thompson might actually be the better Thompson twin.
Man, did he fall off, KOC.
Yeah. I still listen to him occasionally, but, you know, I don't like Father John Misty as much as I like Pearl Jam.
No shots on Father John Misty, man.
No. Fair enough. Misty's fine. But yeah, it's interesting because, like, that was his whole thing. You're like, okay, like, he might not be as athletic, but he's a better shooter. And that has proved to be in the inverse a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a check-in about a player that I think everybody has high hopes for. And now all of a sudden you have this team who's could be the first seed in the East, and they currently are. And, you know, they got a loaded squad. They got to find room for my boy Dan S. Jenkins.
He was in at the end of the game last week. I don't know if you saw that. The last play, Jalen Duren had that, like, crazy, like, eight guys tackled him shot. It was cool to see that the end of the game, he was in there closing five.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, we'll see where that goes. But Pistons are just a fascinating team, you know. I almost included Jalen Duren. He had a early season Jalen Duren line in his last game, but he's had some real clunkers, and there's just a lot of guys.
I'm going to push back on the Jalen Duren Wednesday against you.
Please, I'd like you to.
I think Jalen Duren is just fine. He looks tremendous to me. His rebounding is insane. And
he had a 6-3 game the other day. What's up? I mean, it's just like, it's just interesting.
Right. I mean, he had a couple of clunkers, but like, they had also been playing a pretty like aggressive amount of games leading into the cup.
Mm,
so I think, good. And he's a young guy. I think young guys kind of like peter out a little bit. And so I think I have been meaning to lay some money on him for most improved player for the season, just to kind of hedge. I have a bunch of money on both the Thompson twins. I have a largest amount of money on Amen Thompson, actually, although I did lay some on Asar just to kind of keep this topical, and both those look, the Amen Thompson looks good, but I'm gonna lay some money on Jalen Duren just to hedge.
You have a Amen Thompson most improved player ticket?
Oh, man, I was getting like something like 18-1 coming
that's
into the
wild
season, which is crazy.
I almost put him on the list. He started to, you know, the defensive stats haven't quite been there the way they were in the past this season, and you had to pay a crap ton. I'm glad I lost that bidding war.
Yeah,
you know, he has to be a cornerstone of your team, and you know, there's just, you know, with Durant there, I think, you know, that's been a bit of an adjustment.
There was no world where I was going to pay that price for Amen Thompson this year.
People were obsessed. He was the hipster had to have. And then you're right. I love the residual. You know, well, I didn't get him, so I'll just overpay for Osar Thompson.
For the off-brand version.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you finished with your guys?
Yeah, I got one name as a quick hitter. You might even have him on your list. So I'll just toss it out real quick to you.
Yeah, hit me.
Bub Carrington. I'm quite intrigued. He's starting
Mirage
to percolate.
Mirage.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't think he's a good player, but he could end up with a sizable role at some point in Washington. So, I mean, he's putting up like 15-5-5 in the last couple weeks. You know, he's percolating even with CJ McCollum still there. I'm just filing him away as a name, or if he gets the usage, you know, could be interesting, but I don't know if he's good.
Yeah, I'm cool on him, but I'm happy to be wrong, but yeah, I'm not super high on him. Yeah, so I have one real quick guy, and then I have a couple. I have a whole bunch of guys that I, after that, that I have questions for you on.
Okay. So no on Bub. Just you're out on Bub.
I'm not gonna be on him. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I've watched an embarrassing amount of Wizards games.
That's so sad. But I'm glad you're grinding that tape.
Yeah, it's not enjoyable. They're not aesthetically pleasing. Every time I watch them, I feel a little sad. I'm like, is there not any other games to watch? So I'm gonna. My goal, my New Year's revolution, which I know is not the spot.
Revolution.
Yeah. In any case, I want to watch less Wizards.
Okay, you can pull that off.
Okay, so my quick hitter and on to my questions is Darius Garland.
Yeah, man. Jeez.
His poor start, I think, is real for the season.
He had 35 today with Donovan Mitchell out of the lineup, but yeah, he has to have high usage to get there.
Yeah, I like Darius Garland. I mean, he's ranked 221 per game this season, and that's fake.
Yeah,
that's going to get better. But I think that this season, at least, I mean, I think the injuries have kind of zapped him of what he is.
Yeah,
you know, he had off-season toe surgery. So he missed
that toe, man. He's just getting amputated at this point. Like, let's get rid of the toes.
Yeah. It almost reminds me of, like, what was that, like, 2001 Shaq?
Hmm.
You know, where he's just, like, was like half Shaq. Like, he missed so many games and it wasn't that good. Everybody was like, a toe injury. Like, you're this mega guy. And it kind of took him down. But I mean, I think, you know, so he missed the first part of the season, but he also missed the off season. And he's just watching the games. He just doesn't have the zip or the juice that he kind of normally has. You know, he also, he re-aggravated that injury. He came back. And then he immediately re-aggravated it. And the quotes that have come out recently, like in the last couple of days, is that he says he, quote, gets stingers in the foot.
Damn.
And that it, quote, makes changing directions hard.
That's like a nerve thing, right? I know that from running backs in the NFL. Saquon Barkley had a stinger during the week and he's going to play, but I read it was like a nerve issue in the foot.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like it's like a nerve thing.
Again.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, I mean, changing directions for a 6'2" guard, I mean, that's kind of what you do. Like
he does a lot of start and stop, too.
Yes. And especially even, like, to get off his threes. I mean, as long
yes.
as it's just
I was thinking planting. Of his threes. That's how he shoots them, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think if that is what he's dealing with right now, and I think if it took surgery to address it, and then he basically re-aggravated it and it eliminated what the surgery happened, I just think that for the rest of this season, I'm a little cold on him. I think that if I had him, I'm waiting for a streak of a couple of nice games, and then I'm selling high on him. And it doesn't mean that I'm not buying back in next season, but sure. I think that just considering this current injury situation, you're going to be playing him for weeks at a minimum until he gets back to Darius Garland level, or maybe months. And if you're in first place, cool. That's great. Hold on to that. But if you're anybody else, I wouldn't be willing to wait through that.
I think of season-long fantasy like a marriage or a long-term partnership. And I think of playing DFS or doing like underdog snake drafts as a fling. You know, as a getaway for the weekend. Darius Dynasty. Garland is not... Dynasty is a relationship with your in-laws. Or extended family. Or caretaking for the elderly. Something like that.
Wow, really?
I'll revisit the metaphor. I'm going to lose my original point. You're trying to make me. But no, Darius Garland's one of these players I just don't want to marry for the season because you can only have so many players on these teams. You're with them every day. You're dealing with every update, every ache and pain, right? And like Darius, I like Darius Garland's game. I think he's a fun player. He's not somebody I want to deal with in a managed league all season. He just hasn't been for a while. And so I will target him on a day like today when, you know, the usage is going to be there. And if you're doing like a salary DFS lineup, the salary, you know, still the same price or around the same price it was when Donovan Mitchell's in the lineup or, you know, I'll draft him in an underdog draft. I will find other ways to get my Garland fix. I don't want him all year. He's just had a plethora of injuries, and it seems like it's just going to be a part of the game of the Darius Garland business, and so I don't like that business season long. And that's why it's fun to play different forms of fantasy, because you can, you know, get different guys for what they're good at.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that, like, spin on this. Yeah. So. Everybody's right for the right situation in the league for the most part.
Every player's Mr. Right at some point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, most of them.
Except Bob Carrington.
Speaking of Mr. Right for each situation, I landed on a handful of players. And so I'm going to ask you about, I got six players that I thought about for this segment and I threw away because I didn't have a strong opinion on. So
fun and games.
I want to make this kind of a lightning round of you immediately saying Mirage or Material on this. And so, and feel free to linger a little bit if you... on one of these guys, or just shoot it out.
Will it be clear if you're asking me about their productive start or about their slow start?
Well, so I'll tell you what their current rank is, and then tell me what you think about you want to go rest of the season.
This is Material or Mirage Lightning Round, brought to you by Projecting the Jump. All right, Natron Clean, I'm ready.
So first one is Steelbridge Coffee.
That's Material.
I thought so too. I thought so too. I mean, like, we're talking about organically roasted, fair trade. We're talking about really high quality coffee. you know, that's produced by a real business. And so if you want to head to, and I would encourage you, especially at this Christmas season, the giving season, to head to steelbridgecoffee.com/PTG. You'll find that you can order 4 pounds, which in your grocery store, those bags are 12 ounces. These are 1 pound bags. You get 4 pounds of those delivered to your door, shipping included. Mm-hmm. And it's a great deal. It's basically, it's going to cost you maybe 5 cents, maybe 3 cents per day.
He's getting into shipping costs.
To get to high quality coffee, to be drinking that.
Right.
For me, that's material. I don't know what you think about that.
I had it shipped to New Orleans, and it was, you got to give them a shout out. The shipping cost was included. And so that's pretty awesome. So no matter where you're listening, I don't know about European shipping, but we still got the landing page.
We do. And actually, as coffee prices have increased, which they have, yes, the coffee on our landing page, I will say that to our listeners, has stayed the same. It's the only coffee price that has stayed the same over the last year. So you're actually getting the Steelbridge coffee at a 15% discount if you order right now.
That's actually incredible.
In addition to the free shipping.
Okay. Dang. So we keep it antiquated. We want to freeze it. With the vintage cards that we're offering, we're also offering vintage prices.
Love that. It's a good way to put it. So now moving into players. So these are, once again, these are 6 guys that I don't know what to think about them on
court. Oh boy.
So the first one is JJJ, Jaren Jackson Jr. He's the 83rd ranked player on the season, well below where you drafted him, but number 13.
Yeah, he came to play. Yeah, that's all I needed to see. JJJ has been a screaming buy low. I just don't think he can remain. It's a little bit in the realm of Miles Turner, except I have a lot more hope for JJJ. I think he's been one of the best buy lows for a while, so I'm curious what the price would be. But I'm not really worried about JJJ the rest of season.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I was ready to write him off, and then randomly he's turned it on this week.
He'd be a hard player to trade for. I'd be curious, who would be somebody that you would be willing, like, if you have JJJ, that you would be like, yeah, I'll take that player over JJJ rest of the season.
If I had JJJ time traveling 1 week ago, I would have been panic trading him.
Yeah.
I was panicked because, like, his shots were down. And also his blocks
season. That's been the hard thing. Yeah.
Terrible. Like, the whole reason you get him, you know the rebounds are down. You know the field goal percentage is down. You're building in these lows, but then the blocks haven't been there. But then all of a sudden they've been great this week. So
let me make it clear, you overpaid on draft day for JJJ. I just wouldn't panic trade him for
I don't have him on my team, but
no, in general, the listener, like, not you.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
You overpaid for him on draft day. Listener who drafted JJJ. But at this point, it's not worth it selling him for pennies on the dollar. You gotta hope that, you know, that this week has been the sign of things to come on JJJ.
I like that.
Good to know. You, Licky, the listeners.
Hey, thanks. Okay, so next one, VJ Edgecombe. Amazing start.
Yeah.
90th ranked player on the season.
We were all kicking ourselves for not being the guy to get Edgecombe. I mean, people were like, oh crap, I was taking it pretty hard. But yeah, it looked like a bit of an anomaly, at least for this season. I think Grimes has been a more productive player the past month than VJ Edgecombe. So, you know, maybe later in the season. I mean, the Sixers have been, like, competitive at times, you know. So, and then Maxey looks like an MVP candidate. Like,
yeah, he does.
You know, like the fifth guy on the ballot style. So, yeah, VJ Edgecombe, I don't really see how this is the year that he becomes a guy you got to have. And he goes for one of these players. I was kicking myself that I didn't get to a player. I was like, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't pin, you know, a bunch of hopes on a kind of an early season hot start. That's how I think of it now.
You're saying Mirage.
Yeah, the early season starts a Mirage. I think that's clear now.
Okay. Sticking on the same team, Paul George, number 19 player the last 2 weeks.
Sell him.
It started to look like Paul George again.
Yeah.
Is this last 2 weeks real or Mirage?
Well, I'd have to see. I would guess that there's some crazy steal numbers that are inflating that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But, I would love to sell Paul George for... If you can get a top 40 player back for Paul George, I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah, I don't trust him rest of the season. I don't trust that body. I don't trust his role on the team. Yeah, I would love to trade him for somebody that, you know, you can just have a little more faith in than Paul George at the stage of his career.
I'm going to go for a rookie.
Okay.
On your team. This is one of your boys, Maxine Renault, a rookie center out of Stanford for the Sacramento Kings, averaging 16-9 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't trust a king.
Yikes.
Yeah, like he plays for the Kings, so, you know, I don't trust the rotations over there. It's sad because I love Doug Christie. You know, he's from Seattle, and he seems like a fun guy. He's an awful NBA coach, I just don't give a crap about a king. Speaking of kings, Zach LaVine is available for trade to anyone on our league of record. I want a top 40 player, though.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Top 75. Can't drop him. You get stuck with these players. I don't know. I always think he's too cheap on draft day, Zach LaVine. And I come away with it, and I'm like, sweet. And he's averaging 30 points a game.
You have him every season.
Every year. He's always too cheap.
Yes.
And, like, if the Kings would just realize their destiny was to let Zach LaVine chase the scoring title for a 27-win team, then we would all be going home happy.
They probably will, eventually.
In a couple Ooh, then weeks. He's a buy low, Licky.
Maybe he is. Maybe this we should be a Zach LaVine segment.
Come get him. But in general, I wouldn't trust Sun's place in a rotation, especially a rookie center. Like, so yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
Okay, so you didn't answer Maxine Renault, but that's fine. We're moving on to
no worries about Maxine.
We're moving on to our last two.
Maxine Renault. Going to be... I'm so sorry.
He's been good. He's been really good.
He has been good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, guys, we're moving on to last two questions here. First is Norman Powell, number 50th ranked player on the season. He's been great for the Heat, but Tyler Hero's coming back. What do you say?
I will first say that why do NBA teams always find a way to talk themselves into giving up on Norman Powell for so cheap? The Clippers could have just kept Norman Powell. Instead, they're a trash fire. I mean, a lot of teams could have kept Norman Powell. Yeah, I think he's a great fit in Miami. I think it's material. I think he's a must roster player the rest of the season, and he's going to hover around that 20-point mark. He's a dependable bucket for them. And Tyler Hero working his way back. You know, so far if the assists are way down on Tyler Hero, so. If he gets some more of the ball handling and gets back to old Tyler Hero, maybe it will affect Powell a little bit. I don't think you're going to be able to sell him at this point for anything more productive than you already have. So just enjoy having Norman Powell.
Yeah. Yeah, he's that unsexy name. That
yeah.
There's definitely. No way you know when you draft a guy like that you're not trading him.
I don't draft guys like that.
Chris Paul. It was like Chris Paul back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. I guess Zach LaVine's my version of that now.
That's true.
But yeah, no, it's material. I like him to stay or hover around top 60.
So going back to the team, you said you don't have an opinion on, you won't hold anybody for.
Dang
it. And so that is, I feel like the people are asking this question.
Yeah.
The people are asking this question the most, and that is the biggest surprise of the season outside of Alexander Walker.
He always said that one too fast.
I really couldn't say that one.
Well, you always say it so fast.
And Ryan Rollins.
Yeah.
That is Russell Westbrook.
Ugh.
Number 75 on the season.
Such a waste.
Assuming you don't care about turnovers.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, wow. He's been amazing.
What a joke. What a joke of the franchise to just turn the keys over to Russell Westbrook and let him ram the sports car into the friggin' wall. I don't care about his stats. I think it's a joke. And it's one of these things where occasionally you just have to write someone off and not... You can't do everything all the time. So it's a complete joke. And hopefully eventually they'll straighten up and smarten up. But yeah, if you have Russell Westbrook and you're depending on him, I hope he sinks your team. That goes for you, Odin's Pain.
This is the best take of this entire podcast. I appreciate all of you that have hung through an hour and 10 minutes to get to this take. That was the cherry on top.
Yeah, it's just like frustrating. Why does he have to keep coming back from the dead? He should be rotting away on, you know, he shouldn't even be a 12th man at this point. It's just when you don't know what to do. And you're like, all right, well, this guy is willing to, you know, be the marquee face on. It's just a joke. It's just embarrassing. You know, they're giving Keon Ellis like DMPs. That's just a joke. What a mess.
It's what's wild that it just clearly isn't working. It's one thing if they were like frisky, you know,
right?
Like,
okay, oh, of course, 100%. Yeah,
they're in the ninth seed, and who right. expected that? But it's like,
sure,
this is really not right. working. And nobody else wanted to sign
it. That's the thing. And they briefly pulled the plug on it, and then they like reinstated it. It's just the most confusing thing in the world. I just don't understand. And you got a young player like Malik Monk. Like, if you don't see him as a part of your core, which they don't know what that means, then why would you deflate his trade value? He's a young player. He's a good scorer. They're just destroying the value they already have. Keon Ellis is an interesting young player. It just makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I mean, kudos to everybody that picked him up, because they're...
Yeah, there you go. Fair enough.
Like, that's so much foul money there. That's amazing. Yeah. I feel like I had a joke coming into the season that anybody that didn't pay their dues fees, I was going to put Russell Westbrook on their roster. And joke's on me, because he's been this amazing player. And so, but... We'll see if we can keep it up.
Never underestimate the Sacramento Kings' ability to make the wrong decision. And I guess that is how we should have seen this coming as soon as he signed there. But yeah. Yeah. If that was your blind spot in fantasy this year, you should sleep just fine at night. But yeah, I guess a heads up pickup. I won't give anyone anything on this. You get no kudos for picking up Russell Westbrook. Find something more interesting to do.
Wow. Well, you've so far on this episode of Projecting the Jump, you've got great fantasy advice from Jamie, except for Russell Westbrook and Maxime Renault. Lesser involves the Kings, but what we're hearing is for 29 teams, this is the source you can come to trust on.
So you got the Zombies, the Kings, and who's the third team you feel like
Oh man, I'm forgetting about all kinds of teams. Like,
I'm already deciding there's 32 teams as I'm so ready for expansion, by the way.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Okay, well, Nate, you got any more guys, or should we let these people get back to their holiday?
This is it.
Plans. Okay. Well, Projecting the Jump is an independent fantasy basketball podcast that dives deep into the margins, as you can hear. If you like what you hear, please do rate, review, share, and subscribe. Follow PTJ on Twitter. Follow me, Flying J, at QuantoPhysics. Find us on YouTube. Of course, SteelBridge, do check out SteelBridgeCoffee.com/PTJ. Check out the landing page for Natron Clean. This is your boy, Flying J. And for the only time I will ever say in my life, because I'm feeling goodwill, go Ducks tomorrow.
Go Ducks. Thank you for that.
All right, man. Have a good holiday. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. All right, later.
I didn't mean